This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
Romans 12:9. Look at it. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. The first thing that verse teaches us in the first half of that verse that we saw last week, our love for one another can't be phony. Can't be a game we're playing. Can't be superficial, just on the surface. It can't be fickle, where we love somebody as long as it's convenient or it doesn't cost us too much. It's got to be real. It's got to be from the heart. And when that's the case, it's going to cost us something. Usually when I preach the word to you, one of the things I want to have happen is that you will leave here feeling uplifted and empowered. I have to tell you today, I'm not sure that's going to happen. And the reason for that is today, I need to teach you how to hate. I need to teach you how to hate. Now, hate is not a very uplifting kind of thing, is it? But what we need to learn from this passage today is how to hate. Now, you might be getting confused right now. You're saying, but wait a minute, Pastor. Aren't we in a series on how to love? Yeah, absolutely. And what are we supposed to be learning is how to love our family. Isn't that right? Absolutely. But catch it. What the second half of Romans 12:9 is going to teach us is this. In order to love, you must hate. In order to love, you must hate. Look at that verse again. Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Catch what that verse is saying. In order for us to have that love without hypocrisy, that sincere love, we've got to abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. In other words, the way we sincerely love the members of our family, whether it's our natural family or it's our spiritual family, the church, the way that we love them is to abhor. That word means hate. Abhor the evil things they do. But grab hold of, cling to, hold on to everything that's good in their lives. We got to learn to hate. That's principle number two in the 10 ways to love your family. Principle number one that we saw last week was that our love has to be sincere. Well, principle number two is this. To truly love our brothers and sisters in the family of God or the members of our natural family, we must hate the evil that people do, but hold on tightly to everything that's good in their lives. We must hate the evil that people do, but hold on tightly to everything that's good in their lives. So what we're going to talk about today is the first part of that, hating the evil. Hating the sin, hating the bad behavior that's going to happen in the lives of some of our family members or some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we're supposed to hate that stuff, even though we're holding on to what is good. Can I be technical with you for a moment? That word abhor, I want to give you a definition. The word in the Greek is apostugeo. Now, I know that you were really waiting to find that out. But there's a reason I wanted you to hear it. Apostugeo, let me spell it for you in case you want to put it in your notes. A-P-O-S-T-U-G-E-O. Apostugeo. And what it means is to utterly detest something. To detest it with horror, with loathing, and with hatred. It means in the strongest possible terms, to hate something. The root word of that, stugo, already means to hate. But then the writer added to it that prefix, A-P-O. And that APO also means to hate, but it means also to separate yourself. So what that word is saying is we gotta hate and really hate. That APO part on the beginning intensifies the hatred. We gotta hate it with everything that's in us, and then we gotta separate ourselves from it. Now let me digress for a moment, just on that part about separating ourselves. You know what that's telling us? Some people make this mistake. They think that in order to express their love for somebody, they gotta go along with that person in their sin. That they have to even participate with their sin with them. A husband, unsaved husband, tells his Christian wife, well, look, if you really love me, come on down to my favorite bar and meet my friends and have a few drinks to show that you're one of us. Come and participate in my sin. Or a young man tells his girlfriend, if you really love me, come home to my room and prove it to me. You see, what this word is telling us, we can't do that. We can't even touch somebody's sin in that way. We can't participate in it. We don't prove our love for somebody by involving ourselves in their sin, going where they go, doing what they do when that what they do is outside of the will of God. We can't touch that mess with a 10-foot pole, to coin a phrase. No. The scripture says that in order to truly love somebody, we've got to hate their sin. Not accepted. One of the great fallacies of the age we live in is the idea that to love somebody means you have to accept the way they decide to live their life. That's a lie. One of the most famous and respected evangelical churches in America is the Moody Church in Chicago. Long history in that church. And as I say, it's very well respected. Well, this past February, some homosexual activists demonstrated outside the Moody Church. They called it a house of hate. They shouted that Moody Church and its pastor were religious bigots because the pastor had written a book about homosexual marriage and showing what the Bible has to say about it. And what they were really doing was this. What they were really demonstrating, what they were really saying is, if you say you love me, then you've got to accept my lifestyle. And if you don't accept my lifestyle, if you condemn my lifestyle, then that's an act of hatred toward me. See, that's the way the world sees this thing. Love me? Accept my sin. You don't accept my sin? You don't love me. You hate me. And it's a lie. God is teaching us in Romans 12:9 a whole different attitude. The attitude that loving somebody means accepting their evil ways and their bad behaviors is a lie of the devil. God never told us to do that. What he says is, yes, you must love that person. You must love the sinner. But what? You gotta hate their sin. You got to hate the sin. Oh, yes, we're going to love the sinner, but we can't go along with sin. We can't go along with bad behavior. We can't go along with behavior that is hurtful and painful, self-destructive to that person and offensive to other people. No, we're done because we love somebody. We just can't go along with the way they behave. We got to love the sinner, but hate the sin. In fact, catch this now. This is important. You cannot truly love me unless you hate my sin. Ever thought about that? You cannot truly love me unless you hate my sin. Somebody tell me this. The wages of sin is death. Have you heard that speed kills? Heard that term? Speed kills? When you're speeding on the highway? Well, what we need to understand is sin kills. Amen? Sin kills. Everything it touches. And so, if you ignore sin that's operating in my life, what's happening? You, by accepting my sin, you are facilitating my destruction. Sin kills. Sin kills. Let's take an example. Suppose you have a son And, you know, he's 10, 11 years old. One day he gets mad at one of the neighbor boys. And they have a little argument, and your son gets so frustrated, he runs home and he gets his baseball bat, and he sneaks up behind this other kid, and he takes that baseball bat and whacks him in the head from behind as hard as he can. And the kid's mom was looking out the window, and she saw it. And so on the way, running out the door to help her son, she picks up her cell phone, and as she's running, she's dialing 911, send the police, and arrest this little thug that just hit my kid. Now, tell me what love is. When you get to the jail and get to talk with your son, do you tell him, number one, tell him how indignant you are at your neighbor for calling the police on him, having the nerve to call the police on your son, tell him how you went and got in her face and told her how much you did not appreciate her calling the police on him? Or do you say something like this, Johnny, I'm sorry you got arrested, but I want you to know, I went to our neighbor and I congratulated her. I thanked her for calling the police on you. Because, son, for your own sake, you need to learn right now that that kind of behavior is totally unacceptable. Now, which way do you think is love? Defend your son? Oh, she didn't have no right to call the police on you. Who she think he is? Or say, son, you got what you deserve. And you need to learn from it. See, what's the difference? Real love is not papering it over. Real love is saying what? We need to recognize your sin and deal with it. The Bible says you've got to hate his sin. You can't just say, well, there, it's okay. You're my son. You can't do any wrong. So many parents today do that, don't they? Their kids mess up in school. They go to school, and do they yank their son or their daughter? No, they get on the teacher. No, the Bible says you got to hate the sin, even as you love the sinner. To go back to our previous example, would it really be loving to let practicing homosexuals believe that as far as Christians are concerned, their lifestyle is their own business and we don't have a problem with it? Or is real love to let them know the truth? That the Bible clearly teaches that homosexuality, the homosexual lifestyle, is an abomination in the sight of God. And that anyone that keeps on that path and does not repent will end up in hell. What's love? To go along, to get along, to pat people on the back, or to tell the truth, even when it hurts. Let's look at how Jesus himself handled that kind of situation. Go over to Mark chapter 10. Look at verse 21. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Young man came to Jesus. A very pious young man. Thought he had it pretty much together. Wanted to say, well, okay, Lord, what do I need to do to make sure that I make it into heaven? And look at what it says here, Mark 10:21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Now, I want you to catch what was going on here. This young man came to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, it says, and loved him. And so because he loved him, what did Jesus do? Told him what was wrong with him. He didn't congratulate him on being a pious young man. You're a good looking young man. I can see you're on the ball. You're a spiritual person. You want to know how to make it spiritually. I congratulate you. No. Jesus said, this is what you lack. This is what's wrong in your life. I detect in you that you don't have possessions. Your possessions have you. You have a materialism problem. And so in order to deal with that, here's the prescription. You need to take your stuff, sell it, give the proceeds to the poor, and come follow me. And the young man said, no, that's a little bit more than I bargained for. And he was unwilling. But Jesus didn't pull any punches with him. Jesus looked at him, saw the sin in his life, saw the evil area of his life, and hated it. And because he loved the young man, he told him about it. Go over to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Look at how God calls on us to respond to our brothers and our sisters, our neighbors. Leviticus 19, 17. The New King James says it this way. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear his sin because of him. The NIV says it this way. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Now catch what that's telling us. It puts it right on the line. When we accept and condone somebody's sin instead of hating it, that's when we are hating them in our heart. It says, if you don't hate them in your heart, what are you going to do? You shall surely rebuke your neighbor. Rebuke them frankly so that you don't share in his guilt. If you love somebody when they need to be rebuked and corrected, guess what? If you love them, you'll do it. Amen? You don't paper it over. You don't hide it. Love hates the sin and loves the sinner. And look at what else it says here. This is so profound. Let me read it again. From the NIV. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Do you see what God is telling us? When we accept and condone by our acceptance the evil that's in somebody's life, our brother and sister in the church or the member of our family or whoever it is, when we don't say anything about it, when it's okay with us because that's them and they can do whatever they want to do, when that's the attitude that we have, God says, you bear his guilt with him. By condoning the sin, you become as guilty as he is. Man. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? When we look at somebody and see evil going on in their lives, see evil behavior, and we just kind of let it go, what we're demonstrating, number one, is we don't love that person. And number two, if God is calling on us to confront them and we refuse to do it, we share in their guilt. Young man and his girlfriend, she got pregnant. They decided to get an abortion. And so he drove her down to the abortion clinic. And the deed was done. Who committed the sin? Who committed the sin? They both did. Amen. Oh no, she's the one whose body was cut open. But he participated. He didn't hate the sin. He condoned it. And he was just as guilty. A few years ago, I attended a seminar at a church that had a residential treatment facility for substance abusers. And, you know, I was really impressed with their program because it was a very spiritually based program. And they really got after these guys. But they were talking about how they train not the person, but the family members of that person. So that the family members will not be enablers or facilitators of their addiction. And they put on a little skit. And in this skit, the addicted man is talking with his wife. And it was one of these situations. How many of you know that many times people in addictions, they will do whatever it takes to feed their addiction? They will steal whatever they need to steal. They will lie. They will cheat. They will come home to their own house and steal something from one of their own family members. They will take the rent money and spend it on what they need. And this wife was tired of it. I can't handle it anymore. We can't pay the bills. And so she's confronting her husband. And her husband comes and says, well, honey, you are right. And I am so sorry. Look, I'm going to change. I have made up my mind. I'm changing. I will never do that again. How many of you know that almost all of those I'll never do it again promises go absolutely nowhere? And the thing is, the person right then is sincere. And because they're sincere in that moment, that sincerity comes out. It's like, oh, can't you see how sincere I am? I'm going to change. I'm determined never to do this again. And your heart goes out to them. You don't want to kick them out of the house. And so in the skit, they showed two scenarios. The first scenario was she believed him and let him stay. Guess what happened? Same thing next month, and the month after that, and the month after that. Amen? The other scenario was this. She turned to him and said, honey, I love you, but you got to make a choice. You either get help or get out. And that's the way it's got to be. But honey, I'm going to change. I'm determined. It's never going to happen. No, I'm sorry. Tonight, you're leaving this house. You will either go to the treatment facility or you can go where you want to go, but you got to leave. And they showed in the skit, he decided he didn't want to go to the treatment facility. He was out on the street. And he called home one day, all pitiful. Honey, I'm sick. I'm broke. It's cold out there. Can't I come home? Honey, I love you, but you got to make a choice. You either get help or you stay out. What does that say? I love you, but I hate your sin. And I will not condone your sin. I will not give in to your sin. I will not go along with your sin. It's got to be dealt with. And it would be doing you no service to allow you to keep on coming and participating in that sin because I say I love you and I feel sorry for you. That is not love. Sometimes love has to take a stand. And when we don't take that stand, we don't love the person. The Bible says we actually hate them. Any of you remember Jim Baker, PTL? Amen. He went to jail for misusing the money that people had contributed to his ministry. And I remember something that was said by one of the people who was trying to clean up the mess after Jim Baker went to jail. He said that one of the biggest problems that Jim Baker had that caused him to end up in prison was that the people around him in his ministry, the people in positions of leadership, the people whom he trusted and who were supposed to have his back, those people failed him. Because they wouldn't tell him that what he was doing was wrong. And so when he was spending tens of thousands of dollars that people had contributed to the work of the Lord, spending it on gold-plated bathroom fixtures and on an air-conditioned doghouse for his pooch, when he was doing all that mess, all the people who were around him who should have been standing up and saying, this is not of God. Who should have been saying, Jim, I know your heart, you love the Lord, but you can't do it this way. Nobody said anything. And because of that, the man ended up with a 45-year sentence and a $500,000 fine because nobody would hate his sin enough to confront him. I wonder how many of us have people in our lives that are moving along the pathway to destruction. And we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to take the chance of stirring up strife. And so we just kind of go along with their sin. Understand something. Love does not compromise with sin. When necessary, it confronts it. I want to just share some scriptures with you right quick here. You don't have to turn, but you may want to write them down. Look at God's attitude and what he expects of us. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Psalm 97:10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. You see the attitude God wants us to have? We've got to hate evil, abhor it, loathe it in the strongest possible terms. We've got to hate it even though we love the one in whose life it's operating. Sometimes the absolute best way that we can demonstrate our love for a family member, for a member of the church, the brother or sister in the church, is to so hate and loathe their bad behavior that we can't stand for them to be that way any longer. You see, it's not about the effect on us. It's about what it's doing to them. And when we hate and loathe their evil, their sin, their bad behavior that way, where do we start? We start praying for that person. That's where it starts. Amen? Before you go off to correct and rebuke, you start with prayer. Praying faithfully that God will turn them around. That God will send somebody into their lives that they can listen to and they can hear. And that He'll be able to get into their heart and to change them. And then, after we've prayed, if necessary, if God shows it to us, we ask God to use us, if it's His will, to be one of the people that can confront that sin. And you know what happens when we do that? When we pray for somebody, and if necessary, we're willing to confront that evil, confront that sin, instead of just letting it go, you can have one of the greatest joys you'll ever experience. Go over to James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, our last passage for the day. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Look at this. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Do you love your brother? Do you love your sister? Do you love your family member? Then what you've got to do is hate what is evil in their lives and cling to what is good.
We've got to love the sinner, but hate the sin.